Love Talk Radio.
King, greetings and welcome to TDM Sunday Fellowship. I thank God for you, and especially you tuning in today, which is September the 19th of 2021. And for those that follow the Jewish calendar, you know it is 5782. Such exciting things are going to happen in this year, and I am excited, and you should be excited as well, because if you're not sure, it's only the 14th day of the year. But I just want to greet everyone. We have a great topic in which to talk about, and there is, besides the topic, which I'm going to tell you right now, and the topic is not God's will. Not the will of God, not the will of God is what we're going to be talking about. But I just want to, first of all, just give God the praise, the honor, and the glory for the great things that he is doing in the lives of his people. He never ceases to amaze me. And the things that we see, even when the things we don't see, always know that God is working constantly. Remember, the Bible says he doesn't slumber and he does not sleep. That just tells us that when we think everything is at a standstill, God is yet still working on our behalf. I'm just going to open us in prayer. Father, we just thank you for the word that you've given us on to today. God, we thank you right now for all hearts that are receptive to what you have to say. Lord, I just thank you, Lord God, that you're going to give me clarity in sharing and explaining what you have given unto me. God, I just bless you that this word will not only bless your people, but God, that it will be a tool of instruction so that we, hallelujah, will always be in your perfect will. In Jesus' name, amen. Excuse me, got a little something trying to come on, but that right now in the name of Jesus. Well, I want to start by saying this. We know that it is always our desire to do right. And I'm talking about those that are in the kingdom of God. Even those that may not have given their life to Christ, we call them born again Christians. A lot of them, their desire is to do that which is right. They don't want to bring harm to anyone. And so it is in our walk with God. Our desire is to please him. And if we please him, then we are also pleasing his. Proverbs, and I love Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and you know I say it quite frequently because it is so important that we really don't trust ourselves. Why? Because we don't walk in the flesh. I mean, excuse me, we don't walk in the spirit 24/7. That would be impossible. What am I saying? That means that for 24 hours a day, you're just in the heaven clouds. You know, you're doing nothing, you're seeing nothing, all everything is heavenly. And that's not to say it's a bad place to be, but the reality is some of us do have a secular job. Some of us do engage with people who serve different gods, have different religions, and some of them that don't believe in God at all. Some of them are just straight up, I am and this is what I do, and I do. So we're around people. We make sure that you find, hallelujah, do it. In other words, if there is a need and you have the ability and he's given you the ability to do it, then just go ahead and do it. But understand that God has assigned everyone to a particular task at a particular time in a particular season. And we've got to be so sensitive to his spirit, to his voice, to his urging and prompting us that we move according to his will. When I say the will of God, I'm talking about what he's given us to do. And he's given everybody something to do. You may say, well, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Seek the Lord. We're all to pray without ceasing. You don't know what to pray about? Pray in the Holy Spirit. Pray in your language. The Bible says that our Heavenly Spirit, the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us. So there are times you don't know what to pray, and there are times when situations will arise and you will allow your feelings to want to jump in. And so it's important to pray in the Spirit so that the will of God is going forth and not how we feel and how we desire and that. So go with me to the scripture that God gave me. It's verse 14. I'm going to first read from the NIV, and it reads, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. The American Standard Version says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways to death. Why is God giving us the book of Proverbs is our wisdom book. This is where we get, he said, in all you're getting, get yourself understanding, right? So in getting knowledge, let's get some understanding. Let's get some understanding of what he says that, look, you're going to do some things that appears okay with you. It looks like it's the right thing. In your mind, it is the right thing. But I'm telling you, if it's not my will, if you're not in my perfect will, it's only going to lead to your death. And we're going to talk about some things that's going to cause us to walk in disobedience. Proverbs 7, well, I'm going to start with 5 and read through 8. And 8 is the key verse. Proverbs 3, 5 through 8. And 8 is really our key verse. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Do not, this is verse 7, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. So again, God is saying, when you're doing things outside of what I'm asking, what I'm telling you to do, you're really walking in disobedience. And we know, according to, we know that disobedience is a sin. Disobedience is a sin. Disobedience just meaning you're not being obedient to God. We don't have to get fancy. We don't have to get, very technical, because the truth of the matter is God's word is simple, very simple. And he just want us to be obedient to him. And I know when I first got saved, obedience was a little issue with me because I wanted to do it my way. I found ways of telling God how I think what he's saying to me is not going to work and why I believe my way is the best way. So when we just want to highlight this, when we are obedient, we submit to authority. In other words, we're submitting to God, who is our authority. We know that Jesus was perfectly obedient to the Father because he always said, "Not my will, but thy will be done." Jesus was also obedient to Mary and Joseph. And you can find that in Luke 2 and 51. And then God, you know, wants to make sure you understand this. You know, he wants to make sure that you're not walking in your own ways. And he repeats it again in Proverbs 16 and 25. He does it again. He repeats it. He tells you that there is a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it's going to lead to your death. It's going to kill you. Disobedience. If you want to know what first happened, look at Adam and Eve when they were disobedient to what God was telling them. We know that God shares with us in his word. He's got some promises for us. And he told us in verse 15 and 22, he says, obedience to God is better than any sacrifice or offering. Being obedient to God. So what will cause one to think that they are right and God is wrong? And that's basically what we're saying. We're saying, you know what, God, you don't know what's best for me. You don't know right now the situation, but we know God is the author and the finisher of our faith, right? We also know that he is all knowing, all seeing, and nothing takes him by surprise. The Bible says his eyes goes to and fro. In other words, he's sitting in the holies of holies. He's looking at me, looking at you, and looking all over this world all at the same time. He's taking care of every need at the same time. He's listening to us, petitioning to him any prayer requests. He's listening to us as we're talking. He's listening to make sure the words that come out of our mouth is truly his word. Is it edifying the body of Christ? Find someone. Is it building them up? Is it building their confidence? Or is it tearing them down maliciously? So what would make you think that you are wise in your own eyes? First, go with me to Romans 1 and 28. Romans 1 and 28. 1 and 28. And I'm really going to start at verse 27. I'm going to start at verse 27. And it says, and it reads, likewise, the men abandoned natural relations with women and burned with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their error. 28. Furthermore, since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, he gave them up to mind to do what ought not to be done. So the first thing that will cause a person to think that what they're doing is right is the lack of knowledge. knowledge of the word of God. Sometimes you can see people justify their actions with the scripture because they want the scripture to fit their scenario versus the scriptures are there to guide us, to lead us, to comfort us, to encourage us, to show us the right way in which to walk so that we can enter into the kingdom. The Bible says if it was possible, the elect would be full. In other words, if it's possible, when you become so enthralled being right according to your own understanding, you will miss it. You will miss the boat. You will miss heaven. That's why the Bible tells us, don't lean to what you think you know. Always ask God for guidance. Always ask him to show you the word, explain the word to you. He's not just have the word. He doesn't explain the word to certain people. He says, ask of me and I will show you what? Great and mighty things. The great and mighty things are the things that are hidden in this word. The more we read the word, the more junk comes out of us, the more we see truth in the word, because he is truth and he is the word. The Bible says he doesn't lie. How can he lie when he's God? The Bible says that he's holy, and that's why we should be holy. So the first was lack of knowledge. The second one, which we already talked about, is disobedience. Disobedience is a sin, and you find that in 1 Samuel 15 and 22. Disobedience. You know, God doesn't want, when we come to him offering, we always say, I present my body to you as a living sacrifice. No, we lying, because we present our body as a living sacrifice, we put everything on the altar before him. We come clean saying, well, God, you know all things. You know, I just can't understand the Bible. I read it and I just don't understand it. Show me in your word, God. Teach me all things. That is word. He said, I will teach you all things. He will teach you the word, but he will also put people in your path that will bring knowledge to the word. They will explain it in such a simplistic way that even a child will understand. And that's what God does. When Jesus was on this earth, that's what he did. He explained it that even a child would understand. If you read the word, you'll see that it wasn't just his disciples that was following him. It just wasn't adults that were following him. We know that there were other people, children, that was following him. So if children were following him, that meant he was explaining the word in such a tangible way that even the little ones got hold of it and understood what he was saying. The next reason, this is the third one, why we believe that we are right in what we're thinking, we're right in some of our teaching, we're right in some of our preaching, we're right in some of the things that, that we are doing, is because of the lack of wisdom. And let me just go back to disobedience and give you one more scripture. I realize I did not put this scripture on my paper, on this paper, but I do have it on another, and that is Isaiah 1 and 19. Isaiah 1 and 19. And I'm going to read it from the NIV and the King James. The King James Version says, if ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. The NIV says, if you are willing and obedient. See, God is not going to force himself on us. There are consequences for our actions. So if you're not going to be obedient, well, you're going to have to face the wrath. If you are going to be obedient, guess what? You're going to face the blessings. So just know that God has, he has things already set aside for those that are obedient, because he says, if you are willing and obedient, you will eat what? The fruit of the land. And so for the lack of wisdom, you know, God says, anybody that lacks wisdom, all they got to do is ask, right? Ask God for wisdom. And go with me to James, the first chapter, the fifth verse. So it's lack of wisdom. And it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives mercy to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. So if you're lacking wisdom, all you need to do is ask him, and he will most graciously give it to you. God doesn't want us to lack anything at all. The next one is a wicked heart. A wicked heart. Go with me to Jeremiah 17 and 9. Jeremiah 17 and 9. A wicked heart. Jeremiah 17 and 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? God does. See, the Bible says that man looks at the outside, but God looks at the heart. And then Matthew 12 and 35 says, a good man out of the good treasures of the heart bringeth forth what? Good things. Evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. So whatever is in your heart, guess what? It's going to come out. It's going to either come out with the words that you sing or the deeds that you do. Either way, whatever goes in is going to come out. And without being graphic, you know, so it is the spirit, it is in the natural. Whatever you eat in your mouth, whatever food or whatever drink you put in your mouth, it's going to come out of your body. Whether it comes out through your pores or an opening, it's going to come out. And the last thing is a lustful eye. Lustful eye. And I'm going to go to Proverbs 27 and 20. Go with me to Proverbs 27 and 20. I know I'm giving you a whole lot, but I want to just set up this for the word that God gave me for his people, for the season we're in and what is to come. Proverbs 27 and 20, and it reads, Sheol and Abaddon are never satisfied, and people's eyes are never satisfied. The eye is always lustful. 1 John 2 and 16. 1 John 2 and 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but it is from the world. So how do we get caught up in allowing things to appear right for us? It is because we've allowed lust to just take over. You see something and you want it. And I'll be the first to admit, I was with my, this was some years ago, I was with a group of co-laborers in the gospel, and we were at a all-you-can-eat buffet. I cannot remember the name of the one we were at, but I saw a lot of fruits that I had not seen in a while because I had kind of pulled back from eating a whole lot of fruits. And instead of just getting a little here and a little there, my eyes became, as those older people would say, my eye was lost in my stomach. But the Bible says my eyes were lustful. I didn't get just what I could eat. I got an abundance because in my mind, I said I can eat it all. But in reality, I didn't ask God, well, how much should I get and if I should get it and which one I should get. I just grabbed grabbed a lot of stuff. And so I didn't eat not even half of it. I was full. I had no more room. There was no more room in the inn. But God said to me, gluttony. I'm like, gluttony? Lustful. I'm like, lustful? I'm thinking I need to pray for somebody at the restaurant because they got a spirit of gluttony and lust and must. And God said, no, it's you. You ate. You took more than what you could eat. And now what's left on your plate, no one else can eat because you've already touched it. And it may have seemed like something so minor. There is nothing minor with God. Everything we do, everything we say has a purpose. It can either bring quick life to you or a quick death. How do you mean a quick life? It may save you from something that you're going through or something that's about to come on you if you are obedient. Or it can totally destroy you. Now, what if I had some kind of health issue and I had nothing but fruits on my plate? Not if, even though there were colorful fruits, there was no vegetables. There were no protein on my plate. Who goes to buffet and just eats fruit? But God knew for my assignment that would not have been enough to withhold me for what he needed to do through me. So everything that we do has a purpose. The other scripture I want to give you is Romans 6 and 23. And then I'm going to share the word that God gave me on yesterday. 6 and 23. It reads, "For the wages of sin is death. Sin will kill you. There is a price for sin. For the wages of sin is death. But God, in his infinite mercy and grace, has given us the gift of eternal life." Now, the prophecy that God gave me for where we are right now, I always talk about times and seasons. And for those that have been with me for some years, you know he always deals with me in time and season. I'm not repeating something that I've heard. I'm not repeating something that I read. I'm telling you what he has been speaking to me. Yesterday was today. Yesterday was tell the people. when he showed me this vision years ago. I was taking my son to college, or I was picking him up. No, I was taking him to college and then driving back home. And he showed me something, and I was watching the scenery. I heard what he said, and it made sense, but it didn't make any sense, because I am always one. I want to know when. When is this going to happen? And God never said anything to me. Over the years, he showed me the vision again, and nothing. I was like, I asked God again, like, when is this going to take place? And he didn't say anything, and I guess it was not for me to say when. And so yesterday, as I was resting in him, I made some plans. Even though it was the Sabbath, I wanted to do some things. He allowed me to do one thing, and that was to ship off a package that I had received while I was away, and send it to the person that really needed that package. And then I came back home, and I just laid before him, not saying anything, just resting in him. And he showed me the dream, and he reminded me of the vision. I've dreamt it. I've seen it in live play. That's my vision. I saw the scripture that goes with it, and I heard him clearly to tell the people this. Phantom is in the land. And so what is a phantom? It is a time, often an extended period, where food or water is in short supply because of either something going on in nature, whether it's a lack of rain, too much rain, drought, snow, something is causing us to be, you know, in the natural, in a famine, but we know it is God. And we know, and I'll tell you this, I do know, since he said we are in, it has started now. He said it has started now. The famine has started. And he took me to Genesis 41, and I'm just going to read it, 41 verse 20. And I'm going to read it to you. Again, for those that have followed me, you know, I used to write some blogs when he would share things with me. I've not blogged in a while. I don't know if that's coming back because he's changed some assignments with me, and I am grateful for the people that he has raised up to take over some of the responsibilities that I did have. But he's transferred that to others. So Genesis 41, starting at verse 20, and it reads, and I am reading from the Christian Standard Bible. I'm going to start with 17. It says, so Pharaoh said to Joseph, in my dream, I was standing on the bank of the Nile when seven well-fed, healthy-looking cows came up from the Nile and began to graze among the weeds. After them, seven other cows, ugly, very sickly, and thin came up. I've never seen such ugly ones as these in all the land of Egypt. Then the thin, ugly cows ate the first seven well-fed cows. When they had devoured them, you could not tell that they had devoured them. The appearance was as bad as it had been before. Then I woke up, and in my dream, I had also seen seven heads of grain, plump and ripe, coming up one stalk. After them, seven heads of grain withered, thin, scorched by the east wind, sprouted up. The thin heads of grain, all seven plump ones. I told this to the magicians, but no one can tell me what it means. Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, Pharaoh's dreams mean the same thing. God has revealed to Pharaoh what he said about what he's about to do. The seven good cows are 7 years, and the seven ripe heads are 7 years. The dream mean the same thing. The seven thin, ugly cows that came up after them are 7 years, and the seven worthless, scorched heads of grain are 7 years. It is just as I told Pharaoh. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. 7 years of great abundance are coming throughout the land of Egypt. After them, 7 years of famine will take place, and all the abundance in the land of Egypt will be forgotten. The famine will devastate the land. The abundance in the land will not be remembered because of famine that follows it, for the famine will be very severe. Since that dream was given twice to Pharaoh, it means that the matter has been determined by God, and he will carry it out. I read that scripture because that's what God gave me when he showed me as I was driving to taking my son to school. There was a field of cows that looked healthy. I came back 2 hours later. They were skinny as I don't know what. And I looked, I'm like, I'm in the same place, same day. What is going on? And this happened about three different times. And each time God gave me the scripture, and my question had always been, when will this take place? But when he spoke to me on yesterday, and he said to tell the people, I'm telling you right now, it's so important to be in the will of God. Don't get caught up with what's going on in the world. Don't get caught up, about who's doing what to you. Don't get caught up with this person don't like me or this is going on. Get in the presence of God. Get your house in order. The Bible says in the latter days, he's going to pour out his spirit among all flesh. But what he's doing right now, for those that have an ear to hear, that have an eye to see, that have a heart to receive what God is doing, he's calling his people closer to him. Because he truly is shaken. He's shaken the land. He's shaken this world. And only the strong is going to survive. Only the weak is going to survive. The tear is going to go away. I bless God for what could have been. He gave me my heart's desire. I needed a vacation, and he allowed me to stay with my sister and brother-in-law, and I had my vacation. And during my time of rest is where he was sharing some things with me, and my heart got heavy. I shared some things with my sister, and I don't even know if she even knew what I was saying, because I realized that God was speaking to me prophetically about not just the era I was in, but what is going on around this world with the church. If we don't get our house together, many people will be lost. But it first starts with us. We can pray, but we better pray God's heart. We got to pray the will of God. The one thing he has said, he's not going to do anything without first revealing it to his prophets. And over the years, if you have been open-minded, receptive to what God has been saying, he's been using different people here and there, telling them to start stocking up, start storing away things, start gathering water, start doing this. But many have seen the wealth and they just like, well, they don't know what they're talking about, or they just up and coming, or, you know, they, you know, whatever, whatever the reason is. But God has been revealing for years. He's been warning. He's been warning. And now judgment is in the land. And the safest place is in his will. I am going to open the line if anyone has any prayer requests. I'm going to open the line. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Do we have any prayer requests? Okay. I got that one. Father, I just thank you, Lord God. I thank you, Lord. Father, I pray you to Labasi Candela Labos for Riachin and the under Labasi. Oh, Riachin and the under Father God, I lift your people before you. Let them all see under the Labasi. God, I lift your people before you, Lord God. Father God, I come against that spirit of fear, God. I come against that spirit, oh God, of warring, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Father, you said, oh God, that you would take care of your people, oh God. And Father, I thank you, Lord God. We take you at your word, oh God, even though, Lord, you have given us, hallelujah, God, hallelujah, you've told us, Lord God, what is taking place, God. And Father, we take heed, oh God. Father, we thank you right now, Lord God, that you have such mercy and grace for us, that you're telling us, oh God, what we need to do to get ourselves together, to get our house in order. Father, we just thank you, Lord. Thank you for your people, oh God. We thank you, Lord God, for their desire, oh God, to know you like never before. God, we lift before you, God, those that are asking, oh God, to be saved right now, Lord God. You said all we had to do is believe in our heart that Jesus Christ was dead, buried, and raised, and sits on hand of God, Father Almighty, and we need to confess with our mouth that he is Lord, and we will be saved, oh God. Father, I thank you, God, for their salvation right now, Lord. I thank you, Lord God, that you've given them a hunger and a desire to seek your face, to study your word, to pray without ceasing, oh God. Father, I thank you for doing a quick work in them, oh God. I thank you, Lord God, to connect them, oh God, with Bible-believing churches, oh God, that will teach, preach, and live your word. Oh, God, we just give you thanks, praise, and honor for covering your people, God. I speak Psalm 91 over them right now in the name of Jesus. For God, your word will ever settle in heaven, oh, God. We thank you, magnify, we glorify you in Jesus' name. Just know with God, nothing is impossible. He makes the impossible possible. Until the
tasty.
Hello.
Hey, do you want to catch a five?
I want to do what?
Do you want me to meet me at the spot?
What spot?
So we can drive to 405.
What's that?
And catch a five.
What's that?
You did not pass the vibe check.
Like, what is that?
You just got to go with the story.
I don't understand.
I know, Mom. So it's a song that I've been singing, like, in my head over and over. But when I said, you want me to be at the spot, you should have been like, yeah, of course, we'll go to the spot. But just remind me where the spot's at. You know, I'm going down to 405 and be like, I'm like 20 minutes from the 405. I'm like, you're supposed to respond with fillers like you knew what I was talking about.
Well, I didn't.
Well, no one knows what I'm talking about, but you're supposed to respond like you do know what it's talking about. So that's why you didn't.
So what's the purpose of that?
To entertain me, Mom. To entertain me.
That's
a serious question. What's popping? How are you doing? What's popping? Mom, are you confused?
Am I supposed to say, am I supposed to say nothing, shorty? This is so confusing.
Obviously. Me and Kayla have these things where we're going to go, well, but we didn't have a good experience today.
Why?
So we went and visited and she said, well, we weren't really excited about it. We found some stuff, but she just wasn't really excited about it. And I'm kind of tired today. So it wasn't.
So now Goodwill is your spot to shop?
Yes, the Travis is about to have a hit to big. He was like, all this junk that you're putting in this house. But I was like, I don't buy it unless I need it. I need it more food. But I mean, between last week's call and this week's call, we found like some really good stuff though. We just got to, we now take the time to actually go through the rack.
Did you find anything? Yeah, I'm always looking for a deal.
Mom, you don't live here, and I'm not going to pile all the stuff in the house. I did that last. I'm just not going to do that. We're about to go to this consignment shop slash brand new, like, surplus store. They sell new stuff as well, because I want to go look at the shoes for J-Lane, because I'm going to start buying some stuff now while I get a little bit extra money.
What about me? I keep saying I need to take pictures with them because I don't have any pictures with them either, with all my grandkids.
Whenever I come down, you can do a winter photo shoot. Do a winter photo shoot.
Why are they messing with my drinks? The only break I'm guaranteed now is Christmas. We only have 2 days.
Dang, that hurt me.
I know, it hurt me too.
Are you coming for business then?
I guess I am. I don't have any choice because I told CJ I would take him to the hotel with a pool.
With a pool?
It pulls.
Well, can you tell me how long you I'm here? How many days?
I think I got 2 weeks, but then I need to see when I'm having my surgery.
Will you come for a hair for at least a week?
Like I said, it depends on when I'm having my surgery.
When surgery?
That's what I need to find out, Ann. You don't listen.
Is Auntie going to come back to help you?
I'm hoping she can.
Not working,
all right? No, but I know she has. Remember, Sean is graduating.
When?
November.
Yeah, but you don't have your surgery before that.
I don't know.
Hit the vibe. See me at the 405.
Oh, let me call this man back from FEMA.
Ooh, you got FEMA money coming?
I don't know. Let me call you back. Bye.
Remember who's going to take care of you when you're old.
Bye, Amber.
Please state your name
after the tone, and Google Voice will try to connect you.
Siobhan. This is Siobhan Herman. Yeah.
And I'm the inspector that's just going to do your off-site assessment. Now I'm finishing up another assessment right now. Can I call you back in, let's say, 10 minutes?
Yes.
Now, you have been back to the property, right?
Correct. Yes.
And you have your 9-digit FEMA registration ID there with you?
Yes.
Perfect. So I call you back. We'll get started. Don't read the number off of me when I call you. I'll let you know when I need the last 4 digits off of it, though, okay?
Okay.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
I'll call you back.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Trying times are called that for a reason. They test our grit, but also reveal our strength. During these trying times, the women...
Oh, I hear Baptist says go like this.
Only 2.7% of the population has heard of this all-natural method that regrows teeth and gums. No oral hygiene product is needed to make it work, and you don't have to spend your money on prescription medications or expensive.
Working power.
Center of my joy. All that's good and perfect comes from
Okay, perfect. So I have the right application. I am speaking with the right person, and I am authorized to conduct this interview. So I will go ahead and start by verifying all the information on your application, starting with the home address, 490 R Drive, Unit 213, Slidell, California, 70458.
Slidell, Louisiana.
I'm sorry, Slidell, Louisiana, yes. What did they say?
You say California.
Sorry. I must have been daydreaming or something. I apologize. So, yes, it does say Louisiana. I just misread it. And do you receive your mail at this address, or do you have a different mailing address?
I receive mail at this address.
Okay. The phone number I have here is 985-788-8345.
Yes.
And the email address I have is ShavonneCreations@gmail.com.
Yes.
Okay. Your date of birth is January 14, 1963?
Yes.
Okay. Are you the only occupant of the household, or does anybody else live with you?
Just me.
Just you. Okay. Now, I want to make sure that the spelling of your name is correct. I have first name Siobhan, spelled C-H-V-O-N-N-E.
Yes.
And last name Simmons, S-I-M-M-O-N-S.
Yes.
Okay. And you said you had your power back on already, right?
Yes.
Okay. And you also indicated on your application that you do not have any type of insurance, correct?
Correct.
Now, did you incur any medical, dental, or funeral expenses due to the disaster?
No.
All right. Were there any moving or storage expenses incurred after the disaster due to the disaster, such as having to rent a storage unit somewhere to place your personal belongings in, or a U-Haul truck to move them somewhere?
No, but let me just say, with my medical, I need to replace all my medication.
Okay, and that's directly due to the disaster?
Right. Always,
and
because...
Do you have any type of medical insurance?
I do have medical insurance. I just wanted to, because I don't want to seem like I'm lying or anything.
No. They just ask us to ask everybody if they had any type of medical expenses due to the disaster. And if you say yes, then the only other question would be, do you have insurance? And if you say yes, then I check off some boxes. That's all.
Okay.
And do you have an immediate need for clothing due to the disaster?
I left, and so I had to purchase as much clothing as possible while I was away.
Okay. And when you got back to your house, was all your clothing blown away, damaged, or destroyed?
No.
Okay. And was there any damage to any items that you require for work or school?
No.
Okay. And did you have to purchase or rent, in response to the disaster, any of the following items? Smoke detector, weather radio, carbon monoxide detector, humidifier, dehumidifier, chainsaw, or a generator?
I have to replace the smoke detector because it says low, but there's a new battery in there, so I think that's the only thing that needs to be replaced.
Okay. All right. And were all household vehicles made undrivable due to the disaster?
No.
Okay. Now, when you filled out your application, you indicated that you were staying with family members or friends?
Correct.
Is that still the case? Or are you back home now?
I'm back home now.
Okay. All right, now let's build out your house real quick here. And do you live in a single-family residence, a mobile home, a townhouse, condo, or apartment?
Condo.
Okay. And is it a multi-story condo?
Yes.
All right. Which floor do you live on?
Second.
Second floor. And how many floors above you?
None.
All right, so it's a first and second floor condo. You live on the second floor and somebody lives on the first floor, correct?
Correct.
just at the first floor, and now on the second floor where you live, how many bedrooms do you have inside your apartment?
Two.
And are they both furnished as bedrooms?
Yes.
Okay. How many bathrooms do you have?
One.
Okay. And do you have any other rooms that are not furnished as bedrooms in that
room? The living room and kitchen.
Living room and kitchen. And do you have a dining room or a dining area?
A dining area.
And do you have a laundry room?
It's in the hallway.
So I've got two bedrooms, a bathroom, kitchen, dining area, and living room in the hallway.
Correct.
Okay. And is the home in which you have requested assistance for your primary residence?
It is.
Okay. And do you rent or own there?
I rent.
Okay. Is your home currently inaccessible due to any road bridge closures or any standing water over the road?
No.
Okay. And when did you get back to the property?
The 12th of this month.
12th, and today is the 19th. So about a week ago today, almost, you got home.
Yes.
And is your home in an area where there's an immediate threat of a landslide or a mudslide?
No.
Does your home have central AC?
Yes.
And is it working?
Yes.
And the building doesn't have a basement, does it?
It does not.
All right, now, does your home remain damaged as a result of flooding, wind, or rain damage?
Rain damage.
Okay. Now, can you briefly describe the damage to the exterior surface along with the common areas of the building?
The exterior, the exit sign is blowing out, so it's just a sign with no exit.
Okay. This is the one that leads up the stairs to your unit?
This is the one that's on, there's one that leads up to the unit, and once you get on the second floor, it's right there. There's another exit sign.
Okay. And that one is damaged. Doesn't say exit anymore. Got it?
Correct.
Okay, what else?
The door no longer closes. I mean, I can close it, it won't lock. And
okay, we're talking about your exterior door from the outside.
Correct,
end, right?
Correct. It's only yeah. I can close it, it won't lock.
with the hallway, and I'm going to be very methodical about this. So when I talk about whatever damage I ask you to describe, it's just specifically that particular area of the house.
Okay.
So for example, if we're in the hallway, all I need to know about is we're in the hallway. So
I do not.
Okay. How about a radio station?
No. Just
or a fan?
No.
And in the last bedroom, any damage to floors, walls, ceilings, or furnishings?
No. I do not.
Balcony.
Correct.
Here.
Need something.